Earlier this year, the television series It's a Sin broke streaming records in Britain. The show follows a group of queer characters in the 80s and early 90s during the height of the HIV/AIDS epidemic in London. Here's a scene from the show featuring actors Homi Miura and Ali Alexander.
I've had a look, and the result seems to be definite. I'm sorry to say you've passed the threshold into a diagnosis of AIDS. Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We've got quite a few ways of approaching this, and we're getting new information all the time. I think we can start...
That's right. I live in a house full of experts. That's all we talk about all day long.
It's a Sin premiered in the US on HBO Max in February, and while it hasn't made quite as big of a splash here as it did across the pond, it still managed to kickstart a range of conversations regarding LGBTQ representation in the entertainment industry today. Here with me now to discuss this is Naveen Kumar, a culture critic and journalist whose work has appeared in Them, The Daily Beast, and The Hollywood Reporter. Naveen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
And we're also joined by Susanna Walters, director of the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Program at Northeastern University and the author of numerous books, including The Tolerance Trap, How God, Genes, and Good Intentions Are Sabotaging Gay Equality. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thank you. Naveen, let's start with you. What stood out to you about It's a Sin and how it depicted the AIDS crisis?
What's unique about It's a Sin is, you know, it has a joyful, vibrant tone that we haven't really seen in previous works about this period. You know, when we think about work that was made, you know, earlier, closer to the height of the crisis, like The Normal Heart by Larry Kramer, or, you know, the movie Philadelphia, there was this urgent need to really, you know, get the culture to pay attention to the devastation and the loss. You know, look, these people are dying. This is what we're going through and we need help. You know, now, some 30 years later, a show like It's a Sin can go back and focus, you know, on how young everyone was and how much fun they hope to have in their lives when AIDS really blindsided them like this.
Susanna, in terms of that question of queer community, how do you think the show represents the friendships and the community that many gay people have?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think one of the things that struck me about this show was the vibrancy of the queer community and the pleasures of queer life. And, you know, one of the things that was so great about it, too, is that it showed community, because we rarely see that. We so much the history of gay representation has been sort of the token gay, you know, the queer gay in a sea of heterosexual life. And so one of the things I loved about watching this was both the depiction of queer community and queer pleasure and queer sexuality, and also a real focus on the ways in which straight culture and the state, certainly in governments, both demonized the victims of HIV/AIDS and neglected them. And so you get both in this, which I think is really rare.
Susanna, what about the gender divide that you observed with It's a Sin? What were some of your critiques of the show in that regard?
Well, that was, I mean, as much as I loved it, I couldn't help but be irritated at the way in which women were depicted. So there's really one major female character, and she is the prototypical fag hag. You know, she lives for the men, for the boys. She helps them. She aids them. She offers them support and love and seems to have no needs or desires of her own. So she's sort of there as a, you know, a support to the men. In addition, of course, what's invisible is the vibrant lesbian support that was really a part of AIDS support communities from the very beginning. I mean, both straight women and lesbians were integral to the kinds of support networks in New York, in London, everywhere, without which sufferers would have been much more alone.
Naveen, how do you think It's a Sin does when it comes to depicting queer characters of color?
You know, I agree with Susanna about the Lydia West character. You know, she's really, as joyful as it was to see someone, you know, be so generous with their attention, it was, you know, pretty clear she was kind of a totem. But, you know, she's, you know, an actress of color. Omari Douglas and Nathaniel Curtis are also in the supporting ensemble. You know, it's still led by a white protagonist. You know, Ali Alexander, who we heard in the clip, is a, you know, sort of pop singer of some fame in the UK. And, you know, I think there's sort of admirable effort to surround him with a more diverse supporting cast. You know, I wouldn't say in terms of looking at, if we think about who's really struggling with the crisis now, you know, it's really Black men and trans women of color. So, you know, I think there could have been, I would have wished to see, especially, you know, some nod to trans experience with this crisis as well, especially since it's still so ongoing in those communities.
Right, right, sure. Naveen, I'm curious why It's a Sin has yet to resonate here as much as it has in the UK. Do you have a sense of that, particularly why it's resonated so much in the UK with younger audience, but hasn't really taken hold here yet?
Well, I think, you know, Russell T Davies, the creator, has a profile in the UK as a television creator. You know, I think there's attention that's sort of paid to his work. You know, and in Britain, it was a television event. You know, it was on BBC week to week, and it really, you know, everyone's at home. It was more of like event television. Here, you know, wisely or not, they dropped it as a binge, so it was all out at once. You know, and just with everything there is to see and watch at home right now, I think, you know, it can be tough to break through. I think, you know, it being based in London and, you know, sort of the specifics of that and you know, people over there, I can see them, you know, sort of latching onto it more easily.
Sure, that makes sense. And plus, there is a ton of content to wade through. So sometimes it, you know, it's not the fault of the show itself if it doesn't break through the cloud, so to speak. Naveen, earlier this year, the movie Supernova came out, and it stars Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci, who are both straight in real life, and they play a gay couple. Here's Tucci on CBS responding to the question of whether only gay actors should play gay characters.
I have difficulty with that. I think that acting is all about not being yourself. If we were to use that as a template, then we would only ever play ourselves. I think what we need to do, we need to give more gay actors opportunities. People who are gay have only recently, in the last few years really, have been able to say, I'm gay and I'm an actor. And I can play straight roles and I can play, they always had to hide their sexuality so that they could play the leading man or the leading woman.
Naveen, what do you make of Stanley Tucci's comment there?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Stanley Tucci, and I can, you know, I understand what he's saying. I think a lot of actors have this idea that, you know, playing a character means, you know, playing someone outside yourself. And I agree, you know, that it's about, you know, furthering Hollywood's acceptance of openly queer actors, or, you know, sort of making it a more welcome landscape for those actors to come out. You know, I think the problem is sort of a business one, you know, with straight actors playing these roles. You know, the reason, you know, if you look at a movie like Supernova, Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth, you know, they're bankable stars, you know, in this sort of indie landscape. So, you know, they help, their attachment to the project help gets the movie made, you know, so then, you know, people will go and see it. But the idea is we need, you know, to make a more welcoming atmosphere for queer actors to, you know, develop careers like this and be able to say, you know, look, these actors also, you know, you can take them to the bank.
Right. Susanna, what are your thoughts on straight actors playing gay roles?
Oh, God, it's a tough one. I mean, you know, I hear what Tucci's saying and I don't disagree. I guess I would say, let's wait, you know, 20 years from now. You know, we need more equity before we can get to that place. We right. need to have reached a place where the closet and gay actors not having to hide their identity is a thing, really a thing of the past. And for all of the fantasies that were there, we're not there yet. So I, you know, as good, and I loved that film, and as wonderful as the two of them are, you know, I do feel like it becomes a win-win for straight actors and a lose-lose for gay actors. And, you know, there's a way in which, you know, it is premised on a fantasy, I think, that Everyone can be out and no one's going to be hurt by being openly gay. So that, you know, therefore it's just an acting job. And it just is not the case. And I think the business question that Naveen raised is part of it. But I think the reality of the Hollywood closet continuing is also a part of it.
Well, what did it used to be like? Let's look back at the past for a moment. How were queer people represented in media a few decades ago, Susanna?
Oh, God. I mean, for most of the history of popular representation, you know, gays were either invisible or abject, you know, sites of abjection, sites of mockery, stereotypes, abjection. They were the killer queers from hell. They were FBI agents, you know, turncoats. They were spies, monsters, et cetera, et cetera. So that's, you know, the great history of representation is a history of either abjection or invisibility. You know, then we get to this sort of moment of explosion of visibility that starts really in the 80s, but I guess reaches its sort of signal moment with the coming out of Ellen in 97, which really, I think, signals a shift in popular representation. And, you know, then we begin to get this sort of trickle of representation, which becomes a flood. And we get to the moment we are now. And I do think we've moved from the sort of token moments that we had with the Ellen moment, where that's, you know, this dramatic coming out, the single character, to more integrated characters, characters in television in particular, but some in film as well, where their gayness is not invisible, not abject, but also not everything they are. And that seems to me a really critical moment when you have a robust integration of queers into popular culture narratives. I think that's a key moment. I think the other key moment, and this is to get back to It's a Sin, what's so important about that, another key moment is where gays are not the only one, and that they're not only in relation to heterosexual culture. So I do think it's a vital, I mean, for me, always looking at, you know, what's a good representation? It's a good representation, at least in part, when you begin to see queers not only in relation to straight people, that queers have queer friends, they have queer communities, they have queer families, that we're not only understood in relation to how we do or do not make heterosexuals anxious.
Yeah, it moves away from the tokenism. That's interesting. Naveen, what have you noticed in terms of changes in LGBT representation in media recently?
Yeah, I agree with Susanna. I mean, I think, you know, the big development lately has been, you know, we're moving away, it feels like, from looking at LGBTQ plus people as a subculture, you know, rather than as an integral part of a broader world. So, you know, so many series about young people have central queer characters. You know, look at Euphoria on HBO, which Zendaya won the Emmy for, and Generation, which actually premieres today on HBO as well. You know, they have, as a matter of course, I think it, you know, they have queer characters in leading roles. I think there's a sense that to reach young audiences, you know, they want to see worlds on screen that are inclusive and, you know, explore gender and sexuality in a more expansive, you know, fluid way that really reflects, you know, these sort of developing ideas about identity that they, you know, they bring to everything they watch.
Naveen, you mentioned a show that's coming out this week. What's that called?
Generation premieres on HBO tonight. It's a Lena Dunham produced series, another one of these sort of edgy high school, you know, dramas, and there are central queer characters in that as well.
And do you see that that might signal some improvement in terms of the representation, queer representation on the screen?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, every one of these series that, you know, we get everything from prestige dramas like, you know, Euphoria to, you know, something like Love, Victor. You know, we want to have a broader range of, you know, representation so that, you know, one single series doesn't have to stand in for, you know, the whole queer experience, quote unquote.
Naveen Kumar is a culture critic and journalist, and Susanna Walters is the director of the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Program at Northeastern University. I can't wait to watch some of these shows. Thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.